What's going on, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Porto Podcast in English. This is episode number 6, and we got a fantastic episode for you guys. I am your host, Rui dos Santos, and I am here with my co-host, as always, Jason Rego. Jason, we got a lot of things to talk about here, but first off, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I think we're already hitting some highs and lows early on in this season. I think we're gonna see a lot of this year. I don't know if we're gonna be as consistent as previous seasons, and we've got some match fixture congestion coming up. So I'm excited for all these matches, but I don't know if the players are just as excited.
Yeah, we have a bit of a bipolar week. We had a great win over the weekend against the Gil Vicente. You know, we were going into that game thinking it was going to be a tough match. It usually is. And then we have this Champions League match where the underdogs going into Madrid hoping to get a win. But we're finally covering it. We're starting off a little late this week, so we apologize, folks, for this. I've been under the weather for basically all week. I'm starting to feel better, so now we're going to get this thing going, and, you know, better late than never. So we're recording this on a Thursday, so the day after the Atletico Madrid game and several days after the Gil Vicente game from the weekend. So Jason, I guess we'll start this all in, chronological order. Real quickly on the Gil Vicente game from this weekend, a little, some changes being made, changes that everyone's were expected to be made. You know, hopefully, you know, after that game against Riwab, we were hoping for a change in something to give us a little bit of life and a little bit of identity. We ended up winning. David Carmo made his season debut. Eustáquio made his season debut in the starting lineup. What say you on that game?
I mean, it's easily a positive result. It's a great turnaround after a tough loss. I think it's a great response. It shows the team has character. I think Sergio was proud of the result. I mean, there's clearly still cracks in the team, which we're all aware of. It's going to take time. Like we said, they're gonna need to work things out. But I think it was a good response. It's nice to see guys like Eustáquio get 2 assists in that game, right? Shows what he's capable of. He stepped up to the plate when he's called upon. Another one was Galeno, right? He had a goal. His gameplay may have not been the brightest, but I mean, he still created a ton. I just hats off to the two guys coming into the starting lineup, making a change. And I'm excited to see David Carmo in the starting lineup. I think he deserved to be there a little bit sooner, but hey, better late than never. And great result. Let's take it. Let's move on to the next match.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, not just the Eustáquio and Galeno and David Carmo making their debuts in the starting lineup, but also Wendell and Pepe in the right back position, and also Tony Martinez. So quite a bit of musical chairs, and, you know, a great win overall, a great response. And you and I were talking about this before the podcast, and it was pretty much the same. I guess It was pretty much the same style of play, but this time we were able to keep the opposition from scoring goals, and we were able to put our opportunities away. Any key moments in this game, any players that stood out to you? I know you touched up on Galeno and Eustáquio, but what did you think about that move on Pepe or even Wendell playing on the other side, in the fullback positions?
So, I mean, we've talked about Pepe. I think he's going to get a ton of minutes at right back this season, whether it's he doesn't trust Romario or he just feels that Pepe's safer bet for this day or he wants to attack more. I don't know the exact reasoning, but it's kind of what he did with Corona, right? He wants to get his players in the starting lineup, and sometimes it's tough to do that without putting an unorthodox outside back there. And I think he trusts Pepe. He's been there before, so he kind of does that. I mean, I don't have too much to comment on Pepe, but at right back, but I do like this center back pairing. I feel safer. I feel like we have those young legs. I think it's going to take maybe a month to mold and see what they're actually capable of. I just feel like it's a good pairing. I think this is what we needed, and it's going to be a good pairing for this full season for sure. As long as they can both stay healthy, I think we'll see some great games out of the two. They're going to make big plays, and I think we're going to be looking to them to save games for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think from what I saw in this match, David Garmo was more of this, I guess, more secure player compared to Marcano. He looked much more polished. He was definitely ready to take his role and to be a starter in this game. I think a lot of moments, his recovery was great. I don't want to say we made a ton of mistakes in the back, but his recovery was great. I think his speed, even though he's not the fastest guy on the pitch, allows him to recover and cover ground and not allow opponents to get into the box or make these through these runs into in between the lines or in between the defenders. I think David Carmo made some really great challenges. His positioning was great, and I think him and Pep have really molded really well back there in that game, and I think it really solidified our defense, and I think it just made the jobs a little bit easier for the midfield and even for our fullbacks getting forward. As great as Steven Eustáquio was, I really liked what I saw from David Carmo. It's reassuring in one aspect of the pitch that we had a lot of question marks on. Obviously, a ton of expectations from David Carmo. We know how good he was last year and what his potential is. It was just great to know that, okay, he's molded well and he can fit into this role, and he did a great job. So I'm really pleased to see that. So I guess from this game and going forward and into the Champions League game against Atletico Madrid, it's really more about figuring out the midfield. So I guess we can just jump right into this game against Atletico Madrid. Jason, I hate games like these. I felt that surprisingly we did so well. I think we dominated the majority of the game. We really frustrated Atletico Madrid. We had our chances. We didn't capitalize. Foolish mistakes on our end where we got a red card when we shouldn't have. And, you know, it was a bizarre last 10 minutes of stoppage time that you will ever see in a Champions League. But Jason, what say you about this game?
I am disappointed we didn't walk away with any points. I thought the 1 point would be justified. I did think we were the better team in the second half. First half was underwhelming for both sides. It looked like both sides were playing it safe. Just defensive football. Both teams were defensively sound, not taking any real risk. I thought Porto opened up and they actually got after it in the second half. One thing I will mention is João Felix is a real baller. And I honestly couldn't believe he got subbed off. And also he's in the wrong club. Poor guy. The guy on the ball is very creative and he actually gets a lot going with that ball. Poor guy's in the wrong club. Needs to get himself out of there. But overall with Porto, it wasn't a great performance, right? But it shows these guys are still ready for the Champions League. Technically, Atletico Madrid is a bigger club than Porto in terms of money. And I think we played them well. There are cracks in our team, like we've discussed. But I don't see the smaller clubs being able to hold us off if we just continue to play the way we played. Obviously, we had an unfortunate injury with Otavio. And yep, we'll definitely need him if we're going to do anything in the Champions League. But just the newcomers and to see guys get their opportunities on the pitch, I thought they made the most of it. Like I said, I wouldn't say that there's a bright spot on the team and say, oh, this guy was spectacular on the day. I just thought we made the most of our opportunities in the second half, and it was unfortunate we couldn't finish. I did think Taremi had an off day. I think he was very frustrated, but at the same time, Oblak's a great keeper, and Witsel is a good center back. And, I mean, Atletico, defensively, they've got the shape. Like, that's what they trained to do. That's Diego Simeone's philosophy. They're going to defend hard. They're going to aggravate you. I thought they did a good job of following Porto constantly and stopping the play as they would get forward. I think Atletico had a lot of good fouls there just to disrupt play. And you can call that anti-football or whatever you want to call it, but it's Diego Simeone's style, and they played it as they always do.
You're right. I don't want to say that we didn't have the best performance. I thought we really did up until the Taremi red card, which I thought was absolutely foolish on his part. He should know better. And if I were Sergio Conceição, I would have subbed him out instead of Ivan Nilsson because he was already on a yellow. But, you know, I guess Conceição had the trust in Taremi to not do anything stupid to pick up a red card. And then look what happened. But the first 80 minutes of the game, I thought everything that we, I guess the tactics, the approach in this game, everything that Sergio Conceição wanted to accomplish, he did. Once again, I thought the players did a great job at not making it easy at all for Atletico, forcing them to get out of their comfort zone, where much like in the Sporting game, Atletico Madrid love to sit back, and we see them in La Liga when they're playing against the smaller clubs and they're forced to dominate in possession and be creative, and they struggle with that. They struggle to get into open spaces and to create, and we saw a lot of that in this game. I thought defensively we were extremely, extremely sound. Nothing was really given to them. I think Koke had one shot in the first half where it was shot right at the goalkeeper, and that was the only golden opportunity they really had. Everything else, Porto did a really good job at really just minimizing their chances, their fluidity or anything. And, you know, as you said, it was a conservative first half on both sides. Both sides were playing safe, and it was turning into a chess match. We saw what Diego Simeone did in the second half, right in halftime. They brought in a couple of midfielders to come in and bring some attacking force, Rodrigo De Paul and Thomas Lemar. Those are go-to guys that are capable of starting and more attacking-minded. And I would say probably in the first 10 minutes, they were getting something going. But outside of that, Porto coped well. They did really well under pressure, and they were transitioning well, getting forward. And we had golden opportunities to be ahead in this game, and we never did. And then luck wasn't on our side, unfortunately. The injury, as you mentioned, with Otavio, it was huge. We still continue to do well, but up until the Taremi red card, I felt like everything just went downhill because it was just such a good, complete overall performance. And I felt that this game would have ended in a draw at minimum. If not, maybe we would have gotten a late goal to win the game. But as soon as that happened, everything went downhill. And as we saw in stoppage time, you know, a really cheap goal that Mario Hermoso scored. We were lucky to get a penalty towards the end, and then we were extremely unfortunate in the last second where Griezmann scored the winner. But there was just, honestly, I'm like out of words to describe how I feel after this game, because it's the worst way to lose. And the chances were on our side. I felt like we had the game, and it was in our hands for us to take, and we just didn't take it in the moments that were given to us. And I felt like we gave all these breaks and opportunities for Atletico to be in this game and to just basically take points away from us. This was a game where if we were able to walk away with a draw on the road in the first game of the group stage, it would have been huge.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's disappointing to see Taremi get his red card. He's a veteran. He knows better than that. He's been in this situation before where he put the team in a bad spot against a considered bigger side. And it's just frustrating. He knew he was on a yellow off a reckless tackle. And then to flop like that, it's just like, dude, you already have the reputation. What are you doing? The referee reads the report before the game. He studies film. He knows about you. Just stop it. Like, you're on a yellow. I mean, I guess if you don't have one, go ahead, take the chance, I guess, and dive. But we have VAR. Yeah. Like, he's going to review it anyways. Like, why? I don't shame the ref. I don't think it's too harsh. I think we need to get diving out of the game. It's not a fan of it. I think it ruins the game. It's frustrating. There's PKs still given for dives because there's considered contact in the law of the game. But I just hate to see it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think he should know better. You're on a yellow. And I 100% agree. If he didn't have a yellow, go for the dive and see if the referee makes the mistake. Try to make something of it. Absolutely. But you're on a yellow. You have to understand that, like, you cannot put your team in jeopardy. Now he's going to be out for the next game. A crucial player, a player that we know that can score, that can create, that can extend play. He's not having the best season this year, but we all know what he's capable of. He had a fantastic season last year, and even his stats this year, even though he's been up and down, he's still getting a goal and assist almost in every single game. So it's frustrating. It's disappointing because despite him not having the best season, there's so much for him that he can offer, especially in the Champions League when we need everyone to be on point. And now we're going to go next week without Taremi, without Otavio. It's going to be huge. And this is a game that we need to win against Club Brugge. We need to pick up all 6 points in this group stage for us to increase our chances in getting into the next round. So Jason, we touched up a little bit on Steven Eustáquio in the game against Gil Vicente. What do you make of him in this game?
I think he stepped up to the plate. It's not an easy game to start in. It's the Champions League. It's the biggest stage in the world, aside, I guess, from the World Cup. He did his job. I like him. I think he's earned his spot, and I would continue to go with him if I'm Sergio. I don't think he's light years ahead of the other options, but I think right now he deserves a starting position.
Yeah, from having 2 assists against Gil Vicente and having a performance like he did against one of the better clubs in the world, a team that's really well coached, that has a really difficult system against the midfield that's very strong, and they have a lot of depth, they have a lot of options, and he was able to adapt throughout the entire game. I thought he was everywhere, whether it was defensive, getting forward, taking some opportunities from outside the box, you know, extending play into the midfield. I don't want to call him Vitinha, but I think he did really well contributing, getting forward, controlling and dictating the tempo a bit into the midfield. I think he complements well with Matheus Uribe, who just is an absolute animal on the pitch, doesn't stop running. And they seem to have like a good flow, a good chemistry together. I know it's just 2 games, but it was a crucial league game against a tough opponent. And then we're talking about one of the better Champions League clubs in the world, where he had an incredible performance. Basically the best player on our side, maybe outside of Pep. So that's something that I'm really happy to see. Hopefully it continues into the league and into, obviously, the Champions League match next week against Club Brugge. Before we jump into my favorite part of the show, the Twitter questions, Jason, you said earlier about Pepe possibly playing right back a lot more. What'd you think of his performance in this game?
I think it was what we needed for the game.
Yeah.
Attacking-wise, especially because we knew both teams are going to sit back and be patient, right? So him as an outside back and you're on the counterattack. Now we can link up with Otavio on the right-hand side. I think it was the right decision. Yeah. I don't have too much to say about it, but I mean, the guy's good on the ball. He makes the right decision over and over. Defensively, he's not the greatest defender, but honestly, he makes tackles. He's not dumb. He puts himself in the right position over and over. And obviously, he's not the most physical guy in the world, but honestly, what modern day outside back is?
Yeah, right.
They're playing against skinny wingers anyways. Yep. So, I mean, he suits the role. I thought he did a great job at it last year. He's versatile. I think we're just going to see a lot of him this year. And like we mentioned with the match congestion, he's going to be there probably likely in the big games, right? Because maybe we'll see João Mário start against Chaves tomorrow. And then he rests Pepe. We'll see. I think, like we mentioned before, there's going to be a lot of rotation this year, a lot of opportunities for guys to show what they can do and what they're made of. So, yeah. I mean, I was pleased with him. I'm not going to say he was the best player on the pitch, far from the worst. But, I don't mind him at right back. I like him there. It's unfortunate. He probably doesn't enjoy it. It's probably like a Corona situation, but the guy wants to be on the pitch. So take it or leave it.
No, absolutely. And I think his ability getting forward, being technical, really good on one-on-ones, it's an advantage when you're at right back. But the thing is, are you able to defend and cope on the other side of the ball? And I thought in this game against Atletico, going up against Saul and João Felix, I thought he did rather well. Obviously, Pep was there right next to him, making it a little bit easier, but he made some really good challenges in this game. And one thing that I saw, and I so far this season, even when Pepe was playing in midfield, I think it was in the first game against Marítimo when Otavio was suspended, I thought he was fantastic in the midfield, tracking back, covering the open spaces, making some tackles. I think defensively, he's done really well this season for a guy that's a natural winger. And I think he's better defensively than João Mário is. And I think you're absolutely right. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of him at right back. And who knows, maybe João Mário will start playing right midfield, especially if Otávio is going to be out. I mean, who knows? But I really enjoy seeing Pepe at right back. With this injury with Otávio, who knows how we're going to be lining up, if Pepe is going to be back into the midfield or staying at right back. You know, like as you said, there's going to be a lot of mix and matching in different games. There's going to be a lot of rotation, so that's a lot to see in the near future. So let's move on to the Twitter questions. Jason, our first question comes from Miguel at Migas_FCP. How do you think Sergio will deal with the heavy amount of games? A lot of times Porto will have three or less days to rest before another game, now as we have the Champions League. How do you think Sergio will handle it, and how do you think he'll heavily rotate the squad between games?
I think we're just going to see a lot of similar faces in each and every match. Maybe these guys that you see consistently subbing in every match and you trust them, I think they're going to get starts in probably the league games. I think he's not going to, I wouldn't say they're not up to par with the guy that's starting, but they're not too far off, right? This is the thing with the squad this year. I think we have a little bit of depth. It's not to say everyone's super strong. I don't think we're as good as last season, but I think we're still a very good side and we're capable of a lot this season. It's going to be, can everyone buy in? Can everyone stay happy? Because there's going to be plenty of opportunity. So if there's a season for these bench guys to stay happy and get their PT, it's this year, especially with the World Cup coming up at the end of the year. And we have the Champions League midweek every week with a league game on the weekends or end of week. I think he's going to handle it fine. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity. We're going to see some new faces and guys you didn't think were going to get as much playtime will. But at the same time, there will be guys used and abused, and their legs are going to get tired because that's just a Sergio way. And he wants these guys to stay mentally tough, and it's kind of built into his character and his style. So we'll see who those guys are. But I think we'll see some faces from the bench getting some starts that maybe we didn't think would.
Yeah, very well said. I mean, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of mixing and matching, like we saw against the Gil Vicente game, where we saw Tony Martinez, Galeno finally started, Eustáquio was thrown into the mix, Pepe playing right back, Wendell playing left back, David Carmo finally making his debut. You know, we're going to be seeing a lot of that. And luckily, and I think we did pretty well overall against Gil Vicente, not the best performance, but we made the most of our opportunities. We kept a clean sheet. So that's the job that needs to be done. It's not going to be the prettiest football at times, which is okay. But as long as we're able to pick up the 3 points, that's what matters most. And when you have all these compact games in such a short amount of time, you know, just as Miguel said, just 3 days or less before the next game, doesn't have to be the prettiest. We'll scrap a few games, but as long as we get the wins and the crucial draws in the Champions League, if needed, then I'm totally fine with that. That's what championship teams do. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about taking advantage and trying to get the win one way or another. So really, really great question, Miguel. Thank you for that. Next question comes from Patrick Gotu. So I asked these questions on Monday, which was a bit earlier, and obviously we were expected to be recording much sooner. So this was before the Champions League match. Patrick Gotu asks, do you think Eustáquio earned himself a start next game? So given his performance against Gil Vicente, and I guess you can say against Atletico Madrid, do you see him starting this weekend against Chaves?
I do. I think he definitely earned it prior to the Atletico game, and he's earned it again. So let's keep him on the pitch and let's keep him healthy. Maybe he doesn't play the full game, and they rest him a little bit for the Champions League game. But I would go with him for the start for sure.
Yeah, I took the words right out of my mouth. I was really looking forward towards that Champions League game, which I think is a little bit more important. Maybe if we get an early lead in the first half, we can sub him off at halftime, you know, rest him up for the game against Club Bruges. So I would say yes, but he would need to come off at some point so he gets some rest going into the Champions League game. Next question comes from Brian Pereira at @bpereira_1022. What was the biggest change that you noticed between the last two games? So again, this was asked on Monday. So between the Riwav and the Gil Vicente game, Jason, what did you notice most?
I think just cleaning up defensive errors. I think we spoke about this. The Gil Vicente and the Riwav game didn't look too dissimilar. But I think cleaning up those brain lapses and those defensive errors is what was the determining factor in the result at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yep. Cleaning up those mistakes out back and also capitalizing on the opportunities, because despite being down 3-0 against Riwav, we had quite a few opportunities to come back in that game and put some goals away a lot earlier than we did. Manuel Pinto @heroidoterra. Finally, I'm early for this. So we know all the fuss about Carmo replacing Marcano, but what are your thoughts on Fabio Cardoso? I think he did really well when Pep was injured last season, and I believe Cardoso and Carmo could be a potential good duo back there. Now, speaking about last game, I think Eustáquio showed us that he can be a starter and manage to create a lot of good plays for the team, giving his 2 assists and being MVP. Do you think Sergio Conceição will start him more this season? So for the first part of the question, I absolutely agree with this. You know, Fabio Cardoso was used a lot more last season than Marcano was. And, you know, he's not the best guy, but I guess he's a good backup, especially for the Portuguese league. So you're absolutely right. I think he did rather well last year coming in for Pep. And yeah, I don't want to see Cardoso and Carmo as our duo back there for this season, because hopefully nothing happens to Pep. He remains fit and he doesn't decline at all. But yeah, Cardoso, I think in my opinion from last season, is a decent backup that can be in situational moments, whether it's an injury or if we need to rest a player or whatnot. Absolutely. And for the second part of the question, absolutely, I think we have to go with Eustáquio going into the midfield. He's not the answer to all the problems, but he's a much better solution and a much better answer to everything in the midfield. There's still a lot of work to be done in the midfield and in other areas as well, but the big question mark has been the midfield. So let's give it some time. Right now, Eustáquio is the answer, but eventually, just like all the other seasons, someone will step up. It took a while for Vitinha and Fabio Vieira to step up and get their time to shine, and they did. So let's be patient, but let's stick to what works better now, and it's Eustáquio. What say you, Jason?
Yeah, I think we'll see more of Fabio Cardoso. I don't mind it. He's nothing special at the moment. He can always develop. He's a little bit older, but he gets the job done. Let's get Carmo a little weathered before we do that, because I mean, we do want one guy to have the experience and to be that leader. So hopefully Carmo could step up to the plate, even though he's young, but we've seen it time and time again. Young center back step up to the plate, be the leader of the team. I think he'll fill in just fine. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for Cardoso again this season. It's too early on, but there's going to be plenty of match fatigue. There's going to be little knocks that players take. And I mean, at Pepe's ripe old age, he's going to be feeling the games pretty soon. They're going to stack up, and he's going to want to be healthy for the World Cup. So he's going to be asking for some less minutes or some time off in between.
Yeah.
He'll be okay. I won't be disappointed to see him on the pitch, and I will trust him. And I mean, we've seen him in the Champions League last year, and I think we'll see him again this season. And going back to Eustáquio, I do believe he deserves to start. I think we keep him going. Let's get this guy some more reps. Let's get him more minutes. He can only develop. I think he's got a high potential, and I'm impressed by him. And I definitely think Sergio is going to keep going to him as long as he stays consistent. Let's see what he can do. It's only 2 games in of his starts, but I think he's got a lot to show us. So let's unlock those chains and let the kid show us what he can do.
Valente @DiogoValente98. Couldn't really pay attention to the game as I was watching it on my iPhone at a restaurant. But I gotta ask, did Wendell play well, and do you guys think he's a reliable alternative to Zaidu? What about wasting Pepe over João Mario? Do you think we're going to see that in Madrid? So to answer the second part, we did see that in Madrid, and I thought Pepe did pretty well. I don't know if it's going to continue throughout the entire season. And now that Otavio has been injured, so that's obviously going to play a role into whether or not that's going to happen. But to answer the first part of the question, I thought Wendell did no more, no less better than Zaidu on his good day. I thought Wendell did fine. And Zaidu obviously has had good games similar to that this season. I think his first game against Maritimo, he did really well. But is he a reliable alternative? I mean, it's his first match as a starter this season, and he did well. So I don't know if he's actually reliable and the solution to Zaidu. But it was a good performance. But if I had to put my money on it, I don't really see him being as consistent or better than Zaidu. What say you, Jason?
I mean, I think Zaidu is a Sergio Conceição guy, born and bred. That's his go-to. I don't see Wendell taking that over. Is he a fill-in, Wendell? Yeah, he's a fill-in. Is he impressive? Not really. Is he terrible? Not at all.
He was pretty disappointing, though, last year, because we expected a lot more from
him. Yeah, I think we hyped him up a bit much. And
yeah,
I think the hype ruins it for a player, but I think he's right where Sergio expected him to be honest. I mean, if Zaidu left, like, our left back position would be fine and just wouldn't be a highlight of the team.
Yeah.
But
he's an alternative. It's like, I wouldn't say it would be fine. It's just we have another guy that would do
enough.
No,
it's
left, no better or no worse than Zaidu, really.
It's left back, and
yeah,
some teams have a great left back and many teams do not. So, I mean, it's not a position spoken about too much unless that guy is producing a lot in the offensive end, right?
Right.
Even if he's a great defender, people don't talk about him, doesn't get enough credit. But unless that left back is creating a ton of chances, no one really speaks about the position. So, I mean, he's getting paid to do what he does, right? Justfully so. Yeah. And for Pepe over João Mario, I think, like you mentioned, Otavio being injured is going to change things. But when the squad is at full health and we have our complete depth, I think we'll see more of Pepe at right back. But that's if our team comes back to full health.
Rich Teixeira at Mr. Rich Teixeira. I actually enjoyed the way Porto played in this last game. Our midfield was well organized. Should this be the starting lineup against Atletico? So yeah, this is obviously we're late to this question. Going into this game, I think the midfield absolutely needed to line up the same way as we did against the Gil Vicente, and we did. So I was happy that we saw that, but I definitely want to see Zaidu in at left back and even Nielsen back into the starting lineup. Obviously, there was a lot of changes going into the Gil Vicente game because we had a Champions League game coming midweek. So overall, I think the midfield, I'm happy that we kept with the same players, but I'm also happy with the other changes that Sergio Conceição made going into the Atletico game. What say you, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can't put too much stock into the Portuguese League games. It's the Champions League's a different beast. It's a different competition, and there's going to be guys you call upon. And, I mean, after a disappointing loss at Rio Ave, of course you're going to make changes. I mean, you're not going to change the whole squad, but there's going to be tweaks and changes in that starting lineup, guys that deserve a start. And like you said, you need to rest a few for the Champions League, the guys that you want. Or if they have a knock, an injury, or just fatigued, you're going to rest them. So, I mean, I was fine. Like, if I was in Sergio's shoes, I would have lined up the same way he did for Atletico. I think that was the correct lineup. I think he nailed it, and I would have did exactly what he did.
Next question, FCP 1992 at FCP 1992. Is it Eustáquio's spot to lose now? Do you think Grujic takes that role in the UCL? I'm worried about the depth in the next few games with all the games. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's his position. It's his to lose for sure. Grujic is going to get in that rotation, whether it's to rest guys or he just trusts them more, depending on the play style. But I think Eustáquio at the current moment needs to start. I don't think Grujic deserves it at the moment. And it's not a knock on Grujic. I just think Eustáquio offers a little bit more and a little bit different than Uribe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if Grujic is going to take that role in the Champions League, but I think when we have this condensed schedule of games, we're going to see a little bit of rotation in the midfield between Grujic and Eustáquio. So if Eustáquio is going to be the guy in the Champions League, maybe we'll see Grujic play a little bit more in the league, something like that. It's not going to be consecutive when there's such a compact schedule. In my opinion, I really don't mind seeing that switch up between Eustáquio and Grujic, and even Uribe as well. I think we're going to see him getting taken out a little bit too, because that guy just runs so many miles every single game and he just never seems to get a break at any point. So eventually I think we're going to see a break from him. So with those three being mixed around, I don't mind seeing it. I think obviously it's not the best midfield, but I think those are the three more reliable midfielders that we have. Next question goes to John Heining at John Heining. There was some discussion in a previous podcast about how Porto was mismanaged from a money perspective, but it sure seems like our model is selling high and buying low. How are Porto's finances mismanaged? Thank you. I mean, I think we talked about this on previous podcasts. I'm not too familiar or know exactly why we're so mismanaged, but I think a lot had to do, well, actually mostly had to do with the Lopetegui days, right? With all those transfers that we made, and we were never really a club to just really splash so much cash and go after so many players. And we did that in a couple of transfer windows under Lopetegui, thinking that we were going to get all these players and they were going to come out great. And for the most part, it turned into a disaster and it held us back. A lot of it comes into that, and there's some of it has to go towards how we've managed our transfer fees, selling players at a lower rate than they should have, where we see Benfica selling João Felix and Darwin Núñez this past summer for almost, I think Darwin Núñez was almost 100 million and João Felix was 120 million. Porto should be doing a lot better at contracting these players for higher release clauses and demanding more from clubs. I think the potential that we could have earned over the years is pretty high, and it's detrimental because we don't get much from broadcasting. We don't get too much from commercialization. A lot of it comes from the Champions League and the players that we develop and sell abroad. So obviously, it's good business on paper that we sold Vitinha for 40 million and Fabio Vieira for 35 million because they were homegrown players. They cost zero to bring to the club. But for the quality that they bring, that they offer to all these clubs, it's much higher than 35, 40 million. I think easily both players, I think Vitinha could have went for at least 70 million. And Fabio Vieira could have went for his release clause at 50 million, despite playing basically half a season last year. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think we were playing catch up for a while with the FIFA Fair Play due to the Lopetegui days. I think there was a lot of bad business. And I think that business forced a lot of short-sighted and short-term deals in Porto's mind just to play and catch up. And they probably felt like they were drowning to keep up with FIFA Fair Play. And I mean, there was a ton of transfers mismanaged. I mean, just let's go back to the Gonçalo Paciência. The guy went to Frankfurt for $3 million. Like, that's petty cash. Like, the kid was right. Worth over 10 mil, and that's almost three times as much. So, I mean, there's plenty of examples of mismanaged finances and bad transfer deals. But I think it all stems from that little stint of Lopetegui and putting us into FIFA Fair Play. and loaning those high dollar players and basically buying some guys and letting them walk for free. It was a mix of everything.
Yeah, and also just letting contracts expire and having players leave on freeze, like the Mbemba situation last season, and also just selling players on the last year of their contract, because once that happens, the value of a player dips when they enter their last season. Doesn't matter who you are, whatever. Much like the Alex Telles situation, I think we only sold him to Manchester United for $20 million, and he could have easily went for about $40 or $45 million. But given that his contract was going to expire, Porto needed to make cash because he wasn't going to re-sign with the club. So $20 million or whatever it was, you know, something, and it should have been more. So Porto needs to do a better job at not letting these players go for free, and also not selling them in the last year of their contract as well. They have to demand high. And with that money that they would receive, they can invest in a younger player that can fulfill that role. And, you know, this is a great, this is actually a great question. I think one of our followers asked the question earlier, several weeks ago, and it's ACM87. His question was, is there a chance you can explain FFP for me? How was Porto punished so hard a few years back while clubs like PSG and Barca spend and are always losing money? So we're not going to like answer that question now, but eventually Jason and I, we've talked about this off the podcast, that we're going to do an episode on fair play and how it affected Porto and why we got there in the first place, how we're currently doing, and you know what's to come after. So stay tuned to that one. So thank you, John, for that question. And also thank you, ACM87, for yours as well. We'll definitely get back and do a podcast, an episode just on that. Final question comes from Brian the Costa at Brian_DC91. How do you feel with the heavy rotation on a squad similar to how Man City rotate players weekly? Are you for it or against it? Do you think our squad is deep enough to do that in every position?
I mean, whether we like it or not, we have to do it. This year is going to be much different than prior years. We're going, like we spoke about in the beginning of the podcast, this is fixture congestion at its finest due to the World Cup being in the middle of the season. It's something clubs have never handled before. So hopefully they're planning for that and they're doing their best to keep players healthy, especially guys that are going to be called up to their national teams. I mean, even if they're not, they're going to deal with it. They're going to face it, especially if they're in European competitions like Porto. I'm not against it. I like to see it. I think it's necessary. I would like to see it more in seasons that it's not necessary. I think you have a full roster for a reason. You don't just buy players to buy players. I like to see them on the pitch. This is why I like the 5-sub rule, is we get to see more faces now. It's not, you're not confined to that 3 subs, and it's the same 3 subs every match. Now you have 5, you have a little more flexibility. You see younger guys getting in the realm, even if it's just for 10 minutes a game. It's 2 extra subs, right? That's 2 faces you were not going to see that game in the past. Do I think Porto squad's deep enough? I mean, relative to who, right? Relative to Man City? Absolutely not. Relative to Xavi, of course, right? It's all relative. I think Porto will manage it just fine. I think we'll feel the impact. There will be guys getting injured from it. Maybe they're used and abused, but I think Sergio will do his best to keep his guys healthy and put him in a position for success this season.
Yeah, I'm definitely for it. And I think for the Portuguese league, we have a lot of depth. There's a lot of options. And I mentioned in episodes in the past where I think it's a good problem to have when you have a lot of players and you're still trying to figure out who or what is going to be in the starting lineup. We have a lot of wingers that are pretty good. I think we've pretty much solidified who's going to be starting or at least coming off as a super sub every week. The midfield, there's still options there. Fullbacks, you know, we can move Pepe over there. We can bring Wendell in for a game who did rather well against Gil Vicente. We have Fabio Cardoso, as we touched up earlier, that did well last year coming off the bench. David Carmo looks really good after 2 games. Pep is freaking timeless. We have 3 really good strikers when they're on their day. So, you know, is it relative to Man City? Absolutely not. But to the Portuguese league, I think we have options to go to. At the end of the day, it comes down to whether this entire system works. And obviously the bigger question mark is in that midfield, whether we're going to figure it out or not. I think eventually we will. And we have more than enough options across the board to use in games, whether it's cup games, the UCL, or the league. So that's a really good question. Thank you for your question, Brian. And Jason, I think I'm going to be wrapping this thing up. With any last words?
No, let's get to 3 points in Chaves. I mean, I'm twisted and torn on this one. My family's from Trás-os-Montes, so we support Chaves. But this weekend, let's go Porto. We need the full 3 points.
Absolutely. Yeah, hopefully we pick up those 3 points. It's going to be crucial. So guys, thank you all for tuning in to another episode. We really appreciate it. We love the contributions, your input, your opinions, all the questions, all your participation. We love it. We appreciate it. And guys, if you get a chance, follow us on Twitter at FC Porto Pod, ENG. Follow us on Instagram at Porto Pod, ENG. And follow us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review or hit the 5 stars on your favorite podcast platform. And we'll see you next time.